I did not realize that the extent of the goldfish menace. You're listening to Good Enough Games, a podcast about the things we like. This season, that's anarchism, queer stuff, and magical girls. I'm your GM for this season, Nell Wilson. My pronouns are they, them. You can follow me on social media at Lindy Bombette on Twitter. I'm joined by my players, Marina.
I'm Marina Conrad. My pronouns are she, her. You can follow me on Dimension Dust on Twitter, and my character is Fache, the grumpy janitor.
Dash.
Hello, I'm Dashiell Gallagher. I'm he, him. You can't follow me on any social medias, but I do have the pleasure of playing lovely Jante.
And Robin.
Hey, my name is Robin. I'm a he, him as well. You can find me on Instagram at Robin Kuiper. It's a Dutch name, so if you're going to find it, I wish you a lot of success. And I play Violine, who recently transcended.
Zeb also usually joins us and may be joining us for the second half of this episode, but is currently out sick, sadly. So, this season we're playing Girl by Moonlight by Andrew Gillis, a game about magical girls fighting the darkness of the world through the power of friendship and community. My agenda for this season is to give monsters human hearts, to imagine a brighter future where we're kinder to each other and to the planet we share, and to capture the solar punk aesthetic, which merges the practical with the beautiful, the well-designed with the green and lush, and the bright and colorful with the earthly and solid. So, in the last session, a lot of stuff happened. Our heroes faced off against the Guardian of Renity, animated by the transcendent magic of Marinette, a disregarded Loa. They managed to destroy Marinette's shrine to disable her, silencing the Guardian in the process, but it wasn't without a cost. Leora's shrine was lost, disconnecting Morgan from their patron Loa, and Ursley's shrine almost followed suit. But in a moment of pure desperation, Violine awoke to her transcendent nature and became Aida Wadeau and saved the shrine. And Ursley and Fache, just in time. So yeah, a lot of stuff.
Quite a lot of stuff, yeah.
I want to say that I am really happy to not be playing Fache without any powers.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been fun.
Yeah.
Good job, Aida Wadeau.
I have fun to cover the four first episode.
Well, yeah. You played a little ball of laughter and adorableness, and you also had an otter. I wouldn't have an otter and only have bitterness and gloom.
You can still borrow the otter. You know, friendship will fix everything.
Yeah, y'all can trade playbooks. Aileen can become the outsider and Fache can become the unlikely hero. Anyway, luckily that didn't have to happen. So I'm wondering if I know we wanted to do some free play for the aftermath of last episode. So thank you, Marina, for putting together a list of free play scenes that you were interested in doing. Where do y'all want to start off?
Sounds like if Marina prepped some stuff, then she should get first grab.
Sounds like someone trying to shift responsibility.
Indeed, okay. It does.
I think I would like to have a scene with Fache and Violine at Leora's destroyed shrine and see how that affects them, because basically them and Solange, and that's it.
Oh, we should figure out what's up with Solange today. I imagine there's a lot of cleanup work to do, including getting the Guardian of Renity back at the university instead of in the middle of the Bazile.
So
Solange is probably involved in that whole effort. There's probably like more than 100 people who are trying to figure out how the hell they're going to move this thing.
Yeah, so Solange went to supervise that. Well, probably not supervise that, but really help with that. And I think Fache, since he said that they would rebuild the shrine, he is currently like cleaning it up and trying to figure out how to piece it back together, just at the moment realizing that probably piecing it back together is not going to happen. You will have to build it all over again.
Yeah, and so the shrine to Leora used to exist in the middle of almost like a little curated garden. And there were like flowers of every type and different plants sort of growing up its structure. There was a statue of Leora standing there, I think probably holding like a pocket watch and like dangling from their fingers very delicately. And now you can see that delicate hand gesture, one of the many pieces that has just been smashed and now lies in disarray on the ground. The area around the university in general looks kind of like it's seen better days. There are huge dents in the ground from the footsteps of the Guardian of Renity. And there's all kinds of like cracked stonework and tile. A chunk of the university, like one of the columns of the university also got smashed. So in general, this whole place has sort of seen better days. But there aren't a ton of people involved in the cleanup around here right now, because most of them are trying to figure out what they're going to do with the Guardian stuck in the middle of the city. And in the midst of all of this, I guess we see Fache kneeling over the rubble to Leora's shrine, trying to figure out how to put everything back together. And Violine approaches.
Hey, what? How are you feeling right now?
He just scoffs and says, "Grab a broom."
Yeah, so she takes a broom and starts helping her out a little bit. So, I'm sorry this happened.
He kind of smirks as he's picking up the big pieces of Leora's statue and is like trying to shift them like all in one place to maybe something can be done with them, or maybe they can be used as a basis for like another statue or something. Yeah, it would sure be much better if you did your little thing a little bit earlier.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't really know how to. I tried a lot. It's a really scary demon too, so. No.
Who the fuck was it?
I don't know. Legba seemed to know him. It was some rebel or something from the revolution times.
Revolution?
Yeah, when I think they meant when they kicked out when they created this little paradise of them, right? The Loa did that.
Revolution? I don't know. Morgan is supposed to know that. That's history. Morgan is good at history.
I guess. We can go and ask her when she's a little bit better. Maybe we should start.
They.
Sorry, yeah, they. We can ask them when they're a little bit better.
They were a pain in the ass, always, anyway.
You're just saying that because you're angry.
Yes, I'm angry. You're not angry?
I'm just sad.
That's useless.
I mean, being angry is useless, too.
I punch better angry.
Yeah, well, I clean better sad, so. Well, I also clean pretty good when happy, but let's forget about that.
I think that is end of the scene. Just, it's so sweet.
Yeah, I like that. That was super cute. Lovely. Do you have scenes that you want to do in the aftermath? Otherwise, it could be interesting to see you at Legba Shrine.
Sure.
So where do you think Legba Shrine is?
My idea was actually underneath the building of the Cloud Hollow.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool.
Since it gives Lovely a reason to have found it specifically, but also the theming of sleep is more to Lovely's, and to Legba, it's of barriers and transitions, crossroads. And one of the things about the Cloud Hollow is the steam pipe that runs up through it. There's two spots to it. One where down at the base, the big ancient water heater converts natural water into steam to heat the building. And then at the peak where that steam comes out and becomes the fog and cloud that surrounds the area. I think that was poetic enough.
Yeah, there you go.
As I adjust my nerd glasses.
Perfect. So do you think that this is on the roof, like, you know, in the cloud hollow surrounded by like perpetual fog? Or do you think that this is like the basement someplace?
I think something kind of strange has happened down in the basement where this heater was. It used to be this like natural, unnatural formed set. But over time, like the first few floors of the basement have collapsed and given way. And now it looks almost like a natural cavern. And because of the heated water everywhere, like thick moss and lichen has grown up everywhere and turned it into this kind of, there's like bioluminescent fungus down here. And it's become this kind of like glowing mushroom cave sort of theme with this big ancient like esoteric steam engine sort of thing in the middle.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I like this vibe. I imagine you still get like a little bit of sunlight streaming in from like an old window or a door frame or something like that.
Yeah, it encompasses several of the basement floors. So yeah, there's like little grimy windows that everyone's forgotten about that have little pinpricks of light and probably a big central bit of light that comes in from a break in the building itself.
Yeah, totally. Cool. So you got the classic like spire of light that shines down on top of the shrine. And have people like adapted this place? Like they've set up catwalks and walkways and that kind of stuff? Because people would come to venerate the shrine. They wouldn't just leave it, you know, crumbled in ruin in the bottom of a building. You know what I mean?
And it's a definitely a special place. Legba's shrine is actually not in the light itself, but to come and like be at the shrine, you need to be in the light. So it's kind of like having the spotlight pointed at you while you're in an audience with someone. But yeah, it's right up against one of the walls and it's like people keep it clear. They have to constantly fight back to keep the fungus from growing over it. Legba's shrine is just a big, tall, almost distended image of him just leaning against the wall, like the shadow from the light is distorting it and making it seem taller than it is.
I like it. So what do people come to the shrine? Like, how well taken care of is this? Like, do you think that the people of the city have like a fondness for them? Do you think, like, what's the city's relationship to this shrine?
Traditionally, Legba gets invoked when people try to contact other Loa, but because of the shrines now, it's not strictly necessary to use him. So sometimes people who want to contact Loa who don't have shrines that they know of or can't access will come to this place. Also, people preparing for long journeys or who expect big changes in their life will come here to get permission effectively.
We can draw on things other than also the precise like Haitian like religious tradition, right?
Yeah, I like the idea of maybe like the merchants and travelers who still follow these practices. They come here. Maybe even people who scavenge might do this.
I see. And so, do you see it as a way for like people try to connect with each other? Is it a place where people would try to connect to like the recently departed as well?
Yes, there's an aspect to that. It's this big, like open hollow area, but people have filled it with a lot of little things. There's like smaller shrines and like little tables with pictures of people. There's like traveling advice. There's like maybe like a tiny little like bulletin thing where people have like scratched down on pieces of paper like what's dangerous nearby. It's this sort of like little mini community for people in between, people who are transitioning between two states of being in the city or being out, having people with them and not. It's got its whole little underground culture. You probably wouldn't get it.
Yeah, I like the idea of there's like a little community around it. And it's all people that are kind of like seekers or kind of people who are in places in between and people who are trying to find out where they're going and that kind of stuff and trying to connect to things that are lost to them.
Yeah, there's a mentality here that no one belongs. So you just do your best and you help the people who are here with you because no one here knows what's going on. No one here has a good plan. This is just everyone trying.
I like it. Cool. That's a very cool ethos. I like it. Yeah. And so what brings you to the shrine to Legba? What's on your mind?
I think Lovely tries to clean it and do maintenance to this place at least more regularly than other people. She almost has this kind of sneaky feeling that maybe she is the only person who actually gets to belong here. Everyone else is just passing through, but this is her place. And she likes to think that. So one of the things she does is she does like some of the bigger maintenance for it. She makes sure like the stairs are like scraped clean and not having water collecting on them, so no one slips on them. She takes like old information off the tables and like patches it up and packs it away. One of the annoying things is there's like the little pathways amongst the fungus, and she like scrubs the long pathways down. So a lot of the images, her like kind of bent over, scraping and scrubbing, aiming towards the shrine, moving closer to it.
I like it. Yeah. And so it's sort of you alone in this space, putting so much energy into just keeping it restored and keeping it healthy or whatever.
It has to look perfect.
Question.
Go for it. What's up?
Is Lovely thinking about what would happen if the guardian had broken the shrine?
I think she's trying to avoid it. She's every now and again, she'll look up at the roof, at like the little cracks and holes where the light comes down, and just imagine a big hand coming in to blot it out. And yeah, she like shudders and then goes to scrubbing a little bit harder as she tries to move the thoughts out of her head.
Yeah. And so you're in the midst of doing this, and you see like the pillar of light that is shining into this space get like briefly obscured. And then you see like a woman silhouette standing in the doorframe, hair up in a turban. And as she gets closer, you recognize that this is Corrine. And I think the two of you have seen each other here probably quite frequently. And Corrine just sort of nods to you and then goes up to the shrine and starts to do some of her devotion. And I imagine it's like a very standoffish relationship.
Somewhat, yeah. And once upon a time, Lovely has met Corrine, but she doesn't really have anything against her.
Yeah, and so I think that this is a different side of Corrine than we usually see, because Corrine stole Primrose from Solange, but there's still part of her that is very connected to this city, and this is like her small way of showing that.
And I think there's another, like there's an unspoken rule here. Even if the person who had embodied Marinette came here today, Lovely wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't transcend. They wouldn't try to capture them. This is the place where people like cross between borders and such. So you have to give them benefit of the doubt always.
Oh, I like that.
So sweet. Yeah. I would totally murder Marinette.
All right. So now we know what Legba Shrine looks like. I like it.
The neutral ground cafe.
Perfect. Folks got other scenes they want to do for free play?
I think we do want to have a conversation with Frida and Morgan about Marinette.
Yeah.
And why all of this happened and why Marinette's shrine got here and how and all of this.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, cool.
So I think maybe it's the university.
Yeah, definitely in the university. I'm imagining it's in the little study. So to describe it again, one wall is glass, and then just beyond it is like a very humid kind of like greenhouse or garden. There's lots of different plants and big trees growing in this little courtyard. And there's a tiny little path and like a bench where people can sort of walk around and have conversations in this little courtyard garden. And then the study itself, has big bookshelves on all walls and tables where people can sort of sit and study. And then on one wall, there's like a little counter where the stuff you need to make tea is sort of arrayed. And it looks like the teapot here is well loved. So this is probably where that conversation would happen. And so I imagine that Morgan is sort of pouring through like a large stack of books. I think Frida is sort of sitting a little bit away from this table, but like, still in conversational distance, tired, eyes closed, She has like her like walking stick leaning up against one of the bookshelves, and she has her head resting back against one of the books, and she's just shaking her head back and forth. So I think that that's probably the scene that you walk into. Who's all here?
Fache is here. I don't know whether Lovely is here or really.
It can just be Fache, if that feels appropriate.
This sounds a bit like too much of a confrontation for really.
Oh, okay.
Sounds good.
Is Lovely skulking outside, unknown by anyone, unnoticed? Or is Lovely like busy with her own stuff?
I think that's more the case, where they don't really have a good way of being there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so then it's just Fache, and Fache was never good at polite conversations, so he just walks in, and he stands there, like, looking at Frida. His hands are probably crossed over his chest, and he says, "So, what the fuck? Who is Marinette, and how did her shrine ended up back here?"
You can see that Frida sort of winces a little bit and kind of like stretches and kind of leans forward, and Morgan and Frida sort of share a glance. A significant look passes between them, and Frida says, "What is it that you wanted to know?"
"The truth, preferably. I just asked you questions. What is this revolution that I keep hearing about?" I don't think that Fache never actually confronted Marinette, like, so probably heard things.
This is actually a great question to ask in general. Legba knows, just because Legba history sort of thing. Is just knowledge of the Haitian Revolution not a thing anymore here in Renity?
Probably not.
Does no one know about this?
No. I mean, it's been like 1,000 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Renity is like exactly... We have Haiti as an inspiration, but...
Yeah, no, it's like it's a fantastical take, right? Like, yeah. It, there are lizards with rainbow head fronds, yeah. And giant robots, and like everything is like processed by way of anime into a slightly different setting.
Yeah, it's like when... There's an anime set in Europe in like a fictional European country or something.
Yeah, so it's very Funhouse Mirror alternate history style.
Yeah, like amplified in order to tell whatever the story is that it's being told. Or like how, you know, Neon Genesis Evangelion has angels. And it's like, okay, they're drawing inspiration from like Christian angels, but obviously they're not actual angels, right?
I can't even marshal the mental effort to remember what that was about.
No. Fair enough. So the revolution, whatever that means, I think means something different to the people of this city.
Why Fache is interested in all of this is because I think that there's no knowledge of it in the populace. Like, there was a revolution and one of the lower got kicked out. Like, what? Why? Where? No one knows.
Right. Yeah. So Frida says, the revolution is ancient history. Marinette was, and exchanges an uncertain glance with Morgan, a more recent mistake. I thought that I could undo the injustice of what happened almost a decade ago now. I thought I could put this city back to normal, but...
So what happened?
And Morgan says, Marinette used to be one of us. Her name was Simone. She was headstrong, very like you. She took the blessing of Marinette and she fought to protect this city for years. But she was always hot-headed and impatient. And she was just as frustrated with Ark as she was with Renity. She always knew what she wanted. And one day, she wanted something that we couldn't give her, but Ark could.
What?
And Morgan kind of looks down and says, have you met Rosina?
Yes.
The two of them were close. Rosina kind of balanced Simone's temper out. This was a little bit before my time. I was still young, but I had already been contacted by Leora. The two of them were very close. And when Rosina got sick, Simone couldn't deal with it.
So they went to the Ark to keep Rosina alive.
Yeah. I think Rosina did it for Simone. Knew that Simone needed her. But I think by the time that Simone left, it was out of spite. She saw in this city a bunch of people clinging to the past, ready to let people die for nothing.
And then what happened to the shrine? And there's like a very unpleasant smile on Fache's face. And he's looking at Frida.
Yeah, and Frida says, this isn't the first time that we've had to fight Marinette. It wasn't quite so cataclysmic as all of this, but eventually we had to find another way of protecting ourselves. And I don't think Frida can bring herself to say it. I thought that it had been long enough. I thought that maybe after so many years, it would be safe. That she would have given up on her adolescent cruelty and would leave us to our own devices. But I think I was clearly wrong. And Leora and Morgan paid the price. And you almost did as well. I'm sorry.
This is what's wrong with your people. You don't understand anger. You're just used to everything being nice. Well, nothing is nice now. We need to deal with it, whatever it is, and we need to deal with it away from the city. Nothing like that happens again. And I think, we don't have to play it out, word for word, but he would ask a lot of questions about Simone and Marinette and all of the stuff that happened. And then he would probably leave to go to the Arboretum to hold court or whatever.
Yeah, totally. I think we kind of get the montage of that sequence. And then I think we get just the very end of that conversation. And it's Frida standing up kind of defiantly after having a bit of tea. And leaning on her cane and sort of squinting at you and saying, I may be a foolish old woman, but I'm trying to protect all of you the best that I can. I don't want what happened to Rosina and Simone to happen to anyone again. Maybe I have something to learn about how to make sure that that happens. But this is not going to happen again. Not while I'm still here. And Frida is searching you, looking at you up and down, and seems to almost be worried that hoping, or at least desperately hoping, that you're not another one of the same cases.
Fache is a bitter, angry person, and that's still a thing. You don't just have one nice experience and then you're no longer bitter and angry. That's not how it goes. So I think Fache just chuckles at her and says, well, you are getting old. And
she just deflates and looks down at the ground. And Morgan looks over at her concerned. I think that's probably your exit. God, you're terrible.
See, I love being mean. Yesterday, I was playing my super nice character, and I couldn't be mean to anyone because that character is super nice, but I love being mean here.
Well, I'm glad that you got your chance to be very rude to an old lady who's only trying to help.
Was it mean, or was it asking for a sort of political explanation of why stuff is happening?
Well, yeah, but the last part at the end, just mocking her for being old and out of touch, that was unnecessary.
Yeah, but like, just out of character, so we were clear. Rosina was sick, and in reality, they couldn't help her. So Simone took her to the Ark.
Yep. Yeah.
What happened to the shrine? Like,
oh, I see. So I think that Frida had it destroyed.
Okay.
In order to protect the city.
Okay. And now she thought that maybe we can like restore it and nothing will happen. Right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. The gist of it.
Yeah. Man. Fache knew Rosina. So for him, like that's not just some general person, right? It's not like some faceless thing. Like Fache knows.
Yeah, yeah. And like in all the time that you knew Rosina, right? Like Rosina always had kind of a sad air about her.
Yeah.
Which you could partly chalk up to the fact that, you know, she's sick and still like not cured, right? But just still recovering because y'all met in the hospital. But the other kind of part of them that's sad is, yeah, like they came from Renity. Like they're very concerned about Simone because Simone is very far gone. So do we have any other scenes that we want to do? Aftermath stuff?
I wanted to see a little bit more how the people of Renity are affected by all of this.
Yeah, let's have that come up during obligation phase and that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
I think that'll be a natural way to have it. Perfect. Okay, cool. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of prologue fiction.
Yay.
My favorite part.
Yay, yay, yay. Lovely lies in her bed, eyes closed. Motes of blues and pinks and purples swim around her, tracing graffiti across the walls around her bed. Her sheet floats up off of her as if it's underwater. A sudden moment of vertigo strikes her, and suddenly she finds herself beneath a great ocean. Her bed falling away from her, sinking towards the endless black. Shimmering constellations hang above her, twisting in the water surface. She swims towards them, paddling. More and more desperately, as she runs out of air, she gasps as she breaches the surface. And then she sees it, hanging above her, a great planet, covered in black buildings of impossible height, each with thousands of glowing windows, an impossible number of them in strange geometries of every shape and height, stretching out towards the horizon, interrupted only by the inky blackness of rivers, lakes, oceans, and mountains. The sleeping city. Bobbing in the ocean for a moment, she notices an island not far away and swims towards it. When she gets there, she sees the silhouette of a young woman in a sundress, fastened with flowing ribbon, standing on the beach, reaching up towards the city above. Esther. She's here every night, or at least some imagined version of her. Lovely has distant memories of Esther from their childhood, a young girl with seashell skin in a sundress fastened with flowing ribbon. The two of them playing with speckled fish in the greenhouse, lying in the fields at night sharing stories, climbing trees in the cloud hollow. It's been 4 years since they've seen each other, but she's still here every night in dreams, in the same dress. But there's something alien and invasive in her now. Cybernetics, like she remembers once seeing buried in Fache, but she tries not to imagine them too deeply. Just a red portal, glowing on the back of her neck. Lovely and Legba have been on impossible adventures through the dreaming world. Glimpses into the imaginations of the inhabitants of Renity, everywhere from the deepest sea chasms to the highest clouds. Together, they have an impossible ability to shape the dream world around them, But somehow, sometime during the night, Lovely always finds herself here, standing on the beach, staring up at a world covered in lights, side by side with a friend lost to her forever.
Now I have to live up to that character. Goodness gracious.
That was a bit sad.
I love the sad. I wish that I had like a cat or something or a stuffed animal to hug.
Feelings. Yay.
I wasn't supposed to have those.
Well, what is there to do? I know how this story goes. I've known how it goes for a while. It's one of those dreams that you can walk the patterns to over and over again, and it never really gets old, and it never really changes. Walk along the beach for a few moments, feel the sand underneath my feet. A few moments, she'll start talking. Conversation we've had 100 times now. Always leaves me a wreck. I'll sit down next to her. At least be comfortable while this happens. Maybe I'll understand better this time why she did what she did.
Yeah. And so Esther stares up at the sky, and it's like hearing a memory. You could recite both sides of the conversation in your sleep. You've had it so many times, but it still feels necessary to complete every time. And she says, I want to see what it's like. Don't you?
It could be terrifying.
Why should you be scared? Just look at it. Think about it. An entire world covered in lights. It's beautiful, right?
It is. But isn't Renity beautiful too? That place we went to the other day? The Cloud Hollow?
Maybe. But it just... all of it feels so small. They say that this is what the world used to be like. They say that this is what the world could be again. Don't you think it would be a shame if we just stayed here, waiting for the future to come to us? Waiting for something to happen? I'm tired of waiting.
I just don't know, Esther. Some of the things they do and they say, it's so big and scary. Like we're too small to matter if we don't go along. I don't like the idea of being told that I'm not important if I'm not doing what they tell me.
I don't know. Everyone in Renity has these ideas of what it's like, but my mom just says they're scared of what they don't understand. It's just a bunch of lies, right? People in Renity are so scared of change. Everything here always stays the same. We keep maintaining the city, we keep growing crops, we keep everyone alive, but nothing ever changes, right? And so we see something that wants to change the world, something that wants to create something beautiful, and we're terrified. It just feels wrong.
I feel like Lovely just is having trouble bringing herself to keep the conversation going this time. It feels like it should keep going, but she doesn't want it to. This part hurts too much.
Yeah. And Esther, in this dream world, has infinite patience. She just continues to stare up at this planet covered in lights, her hand reaching towards the sky, never looking away from it, never looking to you.
After a bit, stand up, walk around a bit, look at it a while, reach up and kind of match her pose, holding my hand out, like to try to grab one of the lights out of the sky. Where are you now? What have you seen? You've changed? In a way you wanted to, I hope. Is their dream really the right thing? Is Renity just a stone in the river? The water's gonna flow over and around? Should I even be protecting it? Marinette joined them. She decided it was important enough to change for, to give up on this. Even... I walk around and I'm facing her directly and I'm saying this to Esther's face. Even if they're wrong, even if they're bad, evil people, what truth do they have that could bring Loa to their side? Could bring you to their side? I've got to figure this out. I don't think I'll ever have peace here in these dreams without it. I have to understand. And I turn around to start like walking back into the ocean to leave this dream.
Yeah. And as you're leaving, almost like a tape recorder on loop, Esther says, I want to see what it's like, don't you? And then you submerge back into the ocean.
An entire world covered in lights.
Poor Lovely. All right. So you wake up in your bed in the middle of the afternoon, I'm assuming, to the sounds of construction outside and the shouting of people trying to move this enormous stonework guardian back towards the university, which is turning into this enormous laborious process. And so there's this whole team with like ropes and pulleys trying to keep things moving through this main thoroughfare in the city. Everyone is in the process of rebuilding, trying to bring things back to the way that they were. What do you do?
Look out the window for a few moments. Lovely has at some point in time like invested in blackout curtains simply because why wouldn't you? And she's like peering out from between these for a bit, watching as they try to move one of these giant arms and like refold it so it's easier to move. Then she turns around and she goes to, I think, a desk in a room. It's a tiny little, like a school desk sort of thing, where it only has like enough hand space for like a small piece of paper and maybe a book. She reaches down underneath it and pulls out a little binder, and it's about half filled with scratched out pages, just covered in pencil, charcoal, paint, watercolor, but all just smeared together. Like she started on something and then blotted it out. Slow exhale, open to the newest fresh page halfway through the book, reach down and at random pick something up out of a little cup, pencil this time, simple. She tries to draw the guardian lying down in the middle of the street, like a sketch. Get an outline, stick figure, few details, the eyes, the curve of the hands, and then it starts going wrong. It gets lumpy, but instead of erasing it and trying again, she just exhales and gets frustrated. And then maybe 5 minutes more, a few more mistakes, and she just stops, takes the pencil and scribbles everything out, throws the pencil back in the cup, closes the book, drops it underneath the desk, and gets up and starts pacing. Something. Just something. Sits down in the bed, flops down in it, closes her eyes, opens her eyes, gets back up again. Something not here. Not in this room. And then she gets up, opens the door, and leaves.
Yeah. And so as soon as you open the door, it's like you interrupted somebody who is about to knock. And it's Claudia Lise is standing there. And he says, Lovely, you're awake.
I do that sometimes.
Sometimes.
What is it you want?
Come on, I have something to show you. And he starts to walk down the hallway, expecting that you'll follow him.
Take a moment to like grab my shoes off like a tiny little shoe rack next to the door and chase after him.
And I think that he's flanked by his dog Ophelia, who's like a kind of a greyhound, like wolfy kind of dog with like tan fur. And they're Ophelia also has a very business-like personality, and so is just like following close at heel with a look of determination to get wherever she's going.
They've got like really smooth, glossy fur that looks almost like a business suit.
Hell yes.
Business greyhound.
And so you get to the greenhouses, and when the greenhouse door opens, there's the scent of like dead fish. Which is pretty unpleasant to smell. And there's a couple of fish that are like lying out on a tray that look dead. And Claudia Lise kind of paces around the tank. And so this whole thing is like an aquaponic setup. So there's like a set of tiered trays on top of shelves that are sitting above a big fish tank. And basically like the way that it works is the bits of plant that fall feed the fish, and then the fish create fertilizer for the plants. But it looks like quite a few of the fish are currently dead. And so Claudia Lee says, something as the fish sick. I'm not sure if something got into the water or what happened. Maybe there's just something going around. I've been keeping an eye on them over the last couple of days, but as you can see, they're kind of starting to pile up. And so he says, I'm not sure if it's something in the water. I've tried relocating some of the remaining fish to a different tank to see if that changes anything, but I'm not really sure what's happening. And he says, you used to spend a lot of time taking care of these, right? Do you have any ideas?
When did it start? It was just
a couple of days ago. Probably pretty close to the day of the sun, actually.
Right before the festival.
Yeah, right before the festival or right around then.
And GM, these, are they like fish ponds or are they full like sealed tanks sort of scenarios?
They are like full tanks. Yeah, imagine like a tiered terraced fish tank in like a Chinese market or something like that. But that with like stuff growing on the surface and then like racks of plants growing above it. Let me see if I can find an aquaponics setup, like a picture of it for y'all.
I think I know what you're describing. I actually built one back in my, during a hydroculture class where I stepped in to help it, even though I didn't have the class. It was really fun.
Oh, cool.
We did a terrible job with it because it was all made out of plastic stuff. So we had to do very basic, pretty much that system though. Yes.
Yeah. Super fancy. That's super cool. We have a resident expert.
I may know a little bit about it, but I don't think Lovely really does. Yeah, she checks like the little filters and like the water pump that resets it so that the little waterfall system that connects the multiples between each other are all working. She says, I think nothing seems wrong, unless GM, she does see something that's wrong.
No, yeah, you have no idea what the heck is wrong with this whole setup.
But if you've already checked to make sure nothing's getting in, you might want to take out the fish for a little bit and then take all the gravel out of the bottoms. If something's got into the water, that's where it'll settle down. You might need to reset the whole system. Have you tried turning it off and on again? That didn't actually get said.
Yeah, and he kind of like scratches the back of his neck and he says, yeah, that's actually why I came to you. We've got another harvest coming in, and I'm going to be coordinating it. So do you think you could try to take care of the greenhouses? If you need any help, I can send someone over.
I can take care of the fish or I can take care of the greenhouse. I don't think I can do both at once.
Well, I can make sure someone tends to the plants if you can help figure out what's wrong with these fish.
All right, I'll do my best.
Thanks. Yeah, and he kind of like goes to leave you in the greenhouse. And Ophelia like briefly goes over, just like business-like, trots over, sniffs the fish a couple of times, sort of winces, and then turns and leaves.
Lovely kind of sighs. He goes out. Well, I asked for something new. And yeah, she finds like some bags to start putting the less good fish in, and then starts to like find like a transfer tank and do like some of like the small technical stuff she's learned in the past to like how to transfer the fish over to different tanks and stuff. And she just starts doing it. It's really like, it's pretty much like just slow, tedious work, but she starts doing it.
Cool.
I vote Claudie asks Fache to go help out in the greenhouse.
That would be really funny.
I love this idea. Yeah, so first let's have Lovely, you can roll your obligation.
2 stress.
Okay.
It's not too hard. I know what I'm doing, but the problem is I'm rusty. It's been several years since I've done this kind of work with hydroponics tanks. Also, you normally have like 3 or 4 people doing this sort of thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and so it's just very slow, picking out one fish at a time, slowly emptying the water out of the tank, trying to get some fresh water. Do we want to play out the Claudia Lise asking Fache to help out at the greenhouse, or do you think you just show up? y'all are pretty close to each other, right? Or especially you and Ophelia are very close to each other.
Yeah, I pretend that I'm friends with Ophelia, but actually I'm friends with both of them.
Right. I love this. Yeah. And so you are, what reason do you have to happen across them?
I think Fashe actually does go to the harvest, the fields where Claudie is doing work. And I think he has with himself a bowl and a bottle of water. And he comes in, and when Claudie is sees him, he shows the bowl and like the water and says, "I need to make sure that the dog's not dying of thirst."
All right. Ophelia's over there supervising the harvest. And you see a dog kind of doing like the sheepdog thing of just running around and barking. It is not at all helpful. But Ophelia looks very excited.
Yeah, I think Fashe like stops by Claudie and puts down the bowl and pours some water and just standing there. And like I have this impression of his and Claudie's friendship that maybe Claudie doesn't talk much either. They just stand there for a while.
Yeah, he smiles. Yeah, and he says, gosh, what's the crop that's coming in? It's got to be like summer squash or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And he says, I've got to say I was getting tired of potatoes. I'm glad the summer squash is coming in.
Fashe nods and says, I'm glad we still have summer squash.
Well, luckily that rampaging guardian didn't make its way out here. If that thing touched my fields, I would have stood here and I would have fought it off myself.
Fashe chuckles and he gives Claudie like a once over. And he's like an old man and he is very rangy, sinewy, and pretty thin. And he just says, well, you would make a great fertilizer to the squash.
Yeah, maybe they could turn me into a scarecrow.
You're already a scarecrow with this shirt.
Yeah, he like glares at you and then laughs.
Yeah, and I think Fashe, like eventually he asks that, like, is everything okay here?
Well, the harvest is going okay. Something's wrong with the greenhouses. Lovely's taking care of it. Something's got the fish sick. I can't figure it out for the life of me.
Hmm.
You know, actually, she was asking for some help earlier if you want to go over and deal with some fish or take care of the crops in there.
Yeah, I'll do that. And like at this point, I think maybe Ophelia comes over and takes a drink.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think after that, Fashe spends some time with Claudie and Ophelia for a while. And then he gives Claudie the rest of the water, the bottle. And he's also brought some sort of baked good with him. That's like something with spinach and cheese.
Quiche. I love it.
Not quiche, but like a closed baked good for better, you know, grabability.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah. So there's turnover or whatever. He gives it to Claudie and he then goes to help out Lovely, which I would think it's going to be like a link role.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you head over to the greenhouse. You catch Lovely in mid emptying out this tank and putting a bunch of little fishies in buckets and bags. What do you do?
I think Fashe comes in and he makes like a show of being surprised. And there's like a smile on his face, just like a tiny, tiny smile. And he says, oh, I didn't know you were alive.
I think Lovely's not paying attention. She's like leaning down. She's like up to her shoulder in one of the fish tanks, like holding a big net. Like, come on, just please. This is to help you. I'm trying to come on. She's leaning farther forward. Her knee is like wobbling.
Yeah, I think if this was like a different kind of anime, this would be a moment where Fashe would like be immediately there and catch her. But the problem with Fashe is like he, in his non-transcendent form, he doesn't move very quickly. So
we have like the slow-mo moment with like the girly scream as Lovely starts to fall in. And then we have the Bishi sparkles going and we see Fashe like react like, huh? Gasp, and then they start to move forward, and then it just like freeze frame. It does the record needle scratch, and she just falls in anyways.
Yeah, and he is like there by the time she maybe.
Yeah, I'm like struggling to get out already by the time you're there.
And I help you to get out, and I go, okay, this is going to be faster with two people. Just like take the net, and I will, and we. Go on to do this thing. I feel like we've been kind of sticking to flow as working together.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently got a second dot in flow. Does Lovely like this?
I think, yeah, Lovely does. This is something vaguely new to her right now. If it's weird enough to say, and that's something she likes. And she also likes getting help with overwhelmingly large tasks.
Yeah. Watch me fail this. Well, yeah, that's a 5. So that's 3 links.
Look at that flow roll. So many dice. Well done.
We are now pros at Girl by Moonlight.
Look at us.
We're pros by Girl Light. I mean, girls by Pro Light. Girls by
Pro Light.
Oh, no. All right. So you do the social link, sopping wet, but are now with company. You manage to get the rest of the fish out of this tank and then heft to the huge water basin outside and dump the water into the field so that you can fill it up with fresh water.
So after a while, it's just the big empty hydroponics tanks and then these like several smaller like little fish tanks, but just almost crammed with fish that are just tightly circling around each other, going back and forth.
Yeah, totally. I like it. And so, you get to kind of the end of a long day's work. The sun's starting to set and the fields are starting to get cleared. Tomorrow, you'll have to refill a lot of these basins and get the fish back in. But for tonight, you're just going to keep them in the tanks.
Should be all right.
Perfect. All right. Violin, what are you up to? I want to check in on you.
Crying and sleeping. Now, I think Violine just wants to get to know Lovely more, like just do stuff because she really doesn't know anything about Lovely that well. It's kind of like an enigma to her. Yeah, so I think that's the thing she wants to do together. Maybe, I don't know, bring her on one of her bike rides while she also does her job, right? I mean, she probably even gets a cargo bike now.
Yeah, like when you're serious, I kind of have it in my head that Violin like will ramp from rooftop to rooftop and, you know, go across trees. I think we saw it in the intro sequence, which unfortunately you were not present for part of. But yeah, so riding bikes with you is a freaking event.
Yeah, I think she upgraded though after the entire destruction of her bike again.
Right.
And it's hard to explain because I think it's more of a Dutch phenomenon. But we call it a cargo bike, which is just like a bike that has, normally you see bikes with a basket at the front. This is just like the entire front is a basket.
Oh, cool. Oh, I see what it is. It looks like a boat with wheels. But so you can't BMX with this thing, I'm assuming. This is more like hefting large loads and carrying them around.
Yeah, or sleepy, lovely friends.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so it's like a stretch bicycle.
I see this a lot, like a lot of moms here in my country put their kids in the front and then just drive them to school.
So is the scene of the two of you hanging out, is this Lovely going on a crazy BMX adventure, or is this Lovely sleeping in the front of your cargo bike?
Well, from what I know from Lovely is that it's mostly sleepy, so I imagine just in the front of my cargo bike in the middle of other packages, and Alejandro was also there.
Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah. So where are you traveling from and to? And why is Lovely currently asleep in the front of your bike?
Do you have any ideas, Dash? Because I'm deciding this all by my own, but it's also your character. Maybe they're just friends that go out on a little drive. It can be just as that.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, is Lovely sleepy all the time, or?
I think if we're assuming this is like the day after doing all the fish work, she's probably like very nodding off whenever she can get comfortable, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a great constitution.
Well, that's probably why then. Just need to take care of your friend and bring them along.
So where are we going again?
I need to bring a package to one of the people in town. And I thought maybe you could come along. We could bike past the beach or the cliff and look at stuff.
That doesn't sound ominous at all.
Oh, I do this all the time. It's gonna be fine.
Sorry. It's just a little early for me.
What time is it? Do you know what time it is? I forgot the time.
Around noonish, I think.
That's not that like early. Also, Miss Antoine she needs the packages, so we just need to bring them. And I don't know, you're coming along.
Okay.
So, what did you do yesterday? You seem tired.
Oh, Claudio Elise asked me to one of the greenhouses, the hydroponics tanks were crashing. I had to get all the fish out and filter the water.
Oh, right. He's the fruit guy, right?
Mm-hmm. He actually handles a lot of the farming around the city. We all kind of work for him when we're doing that sort of thing, so he can give us jobs like that.
Oh, right. I've never really met him I've probably seen him a couple times, but I've never really spoken to him.
He has that dog that looks like it's wearing a gray suit.
Oh, right.
The one that always looks at you like you should be working harder. Or at least that's how it always looks at me.
The one that always says I need to pay my taxes when I close my eyes. Don't even know what taxes are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Have you ever been out to the Cape or to the beach?
Lovely, like, leans to the side and briefly has a flashback of her and Esther on the beach exploring there. No, I don't really go that way very often. I know the whole sleepy person stereotype is, like, napping on the beach, but even I get a little bit of a sunburn then from doing that with how much I sleep.
Also, probably isn't that safe. I mean, if you sleep alone on the beach.
What, do you think a shark might come up and try to get me?
Land sharks? I heard they exist.
Robot land sharks.
Do robot land sharks exist?
Can you prove they don't exist?
No, I've never seen one, but that doesn't mean they're... well...
I grin at Violine like, I'm joking.
No, I think you're onto something there. I think Alejandro agrees too. Man, it would be cool to be a robot land shark. Nobody would mess with you.
That or everyone would mess with you trying to see you. Seems like that would draw a lot of attention.
I guess.
Also, then you'd have to be all robot-y.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being a robot.
Well, yeah, but being normal and then becoming a robot, you know, that's not so good.
I guess. I mean, it might just be a next stage in life or something. Who knows? The robots I met had some humanity in them.
What? Had they just finished eating?
Well, no, they got like emotions and like frustrated in them. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, you remember when I got caught on that mechanical large tower thing?
Was that thing where the Loa came and rescued you?
I mean, well, it was mostly Legwa inside, and then outside they like broke the wall and I jumped down and did a flip, and then Alejandro jumped on me and we got out together. But yeah, I think, yeah, there was that one. It wasn't just the Loa, like all our friends were there too, in the form of the Loa. Were you there? And did we pick you up along the way?
Yeah, that's what happened. You got me along the way.
Ah, right. Yeah, you really should try to stay awake sometimes for that.
Sorry, what was that? I was falling asleep because I'm such a sleepyhead all the time.
I get it. I'm happy all the time, too. So you go sleep, I'll bike us, we'll be there in half an hour, and, you know, if you open your eyes, you might be a nice cloud animal.
Thumbs up, and then, like, lean on the side of the bike and just kind of slump.
That's so sweet.
Y'all are fucking adorable. I just want you to know this.
They are. This is now my OTP.
Yeah, both kind of dreamy and surreal, talking about robot land sharks. They definitely got a thing going on. Yeah, and so you end up going to like the bluffs, and is it the kind of thing where it's just you set out a beach blanket and then both of you end up taking a nap?
I thought she was just going to drive past, but yeah, sure, a little picnic nap could work.
Napnik.
Yeah, napnik. Yeah. It sounds to me like y'all are doing some kind of social link.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, Velian, what are you rolling here?
I think this is an empathize. It's not really working together. It's just talking about stuff.
Flow could also work, where it's just kind of, flow could be about getting along with somebody or sort of like picking up on what they're putting out and that kind of stuff.
We're girl by pro light players now, so I'm going to use empathize because I'm a bit more.
Sure, go for it.
When you empathize, you understand a person intuitively and feel their emotions if they've already your own.
Feels appropriate. And Lovely is on board with this. This is a fun activity.
For free, I can ask, what is Lovely really feeling? And you have to tell me. It's my heartfelt power.
You can ask this question?
Yeah, you can always ask a player, what is your character really feeling for free? Don't think you have to answer me, but because it doesn't say that, but I can always ask it for free.
Lovely is, her feelings on cyborgization are, they confuse and scare her, which is why she's trying to put up a good negative front, which is what she thinks is the answer she should be giving. But she likes your answer instead. She likes the idea that her friends might still accept her if something changed suddenly with her like that.
Yay.
Cute. But also heartfelt is when gathering information about someone's emotions.
Oh, really?
You can always ask a player what is your character really feeling?
I've been scammed. I'm scammed. My heart has been abused and stolen from.
I had removed the "and" on my thing and I had them in separate lines. So that was my fault. I'm very sorry. Sorry I made you open up. Okay, so you like this. So that's an extra die.
Yeah, and also our ability gives you plus another one.
Okay, so then I have plus two bonus die.
That's nice. A six.
Get that six. Yes. Y'all are rolling in social links.
So how many? Four. Oh gosh, what am I going to do with these?
Just keep me being unstressed, friend.
Y'all are so sweet.
Cuties. So at some point in the midpoint, I think that conversation that we wanted to have about, like, so what's next? What do we do next? Like, there's no imminent threat to the city that y'all are aware of. And so it really is kind of your initiative, right? We could do that scene now or some other time during downtime, but I just want to put that forward.
Yeah, I have a downtime action that I want to do before that scene.
All right.
Yeah. I think Fache comes after like doing all of the things that he was supposed to do at the greenhouse and then finishing up at the shrine. The little bits and pieces of Leora are now like under a tarp, like next to the shrine. And I think he goes to the university and he starts following around Morgan and asking him about the history of their fight with the Blight and all of that. And he starts asking Morgan to give him books and all that stuff. And I want to roll Analyze, which I have zero dice in Analyze, but I want to investigate the darkness.
Nice.
By doing the studying. And I think this is like Fache's he's changing in response to this crisis. So
yeah, like you're sort of taking a little bit more of the initiative, and you're
yeah
trying to take responsibility to know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, and like in his mind, Morgan was there, like the leader, and Morgan always knew like all the history stuff, and now he also realized that like he needs to understand a little bit more about the darkness and not just how to punch things in the head.
Perfect. I love it.
This was a 2-1. So Fache is just really, really unused to this. Like his body is unused to just sitting there and reading. So his eyes hurt, his hip hurts, and like his whole body hurts because of the sitting. And like his brain hurts because all of this information is kind of dense and not really like conversationally, but this is not a pop science kind of thing. So yeah, investigate the darkness. It's 1 tick plus 1, so 2 ticks to investigate.
All right, I will add that to the thing. But yeah, by way of wrapping up this scene, because I think I have a cute idea. I think Morgan, like happens by at the end of the day, when the sun is setting, they have a book bag over their shoulder and they are leaving the university, and you're still sitting like in the, you know, the light of the university, like trying to read the rest of this book. Yeah. I imagine you're kind of like sitting right by the entryway and squinting at this thing. And Morgan says, Are you only on page 30?
And I think Fache just is really tense, and he looks up and then just stares at Morgan, just glumly.
I guess it's not going well then.
How do you get through this sentence? Look, it goes on for like the whole page. This is one sentence. Is this the Loa killed the river, or is the river that's I?
Yeah, and Morgan kind of picks up the book, glances over the sentence, and then recites it perfectly, and then looks at you, and is like trying to figure you out, and then says, "You haven't spent a lot of time reading, have you?" And hands you the book back.
Spent a lot of time talking to people, did you? Because you're shit at that too.
Here, hold on a second. He like grabs the side of his face and then realizes they're not there, and then like fumbles around and finds his glasses like hanging from a little chain on his neck, or sorry, on their neck, and then like hands them to you and says, "Try these on and then try reading it again."
Fache tries them on, and that is definitely not how shit works, but
I want an excuse to give Fache glasses, though.
Yeah.
It would be adorable.
Yeah, but for the adorableness of this, let's say that Fache is like squinting and then stops squinting. And like, yeah, that's much better.
Really? I could get... Actually, I have 2 pairs of glasses. You could keep that one.
Oh, thank you. He's like very, very quietly says thank you.
Well, hopefully that helps them make a little bit faster progress.
I think that's the end of the scene. That's so sweet.
Yeah, perfect. Adorableness.
Yes.
Get you a pair of glasses. I'm just imagining very grumpy Fache with glasses that Aww. Are like kind of like old man glasses, like the kind that Morgan would wear, and I fucking love it.
Violin gonna tease him as fuck.
Violin is going to get punched.
Yeah, she knows.
Cool. So you don't make much progress, but you've learned you need a prescription.
Thank you for listening to Good Enough Games. If you liked us, tell your friends about us. Our GM is Nell Wilson. Our producer is Marina Conrad. Our music is by Ketsa. Our game system is Girl by Moonlight by Andrew Gillis, forged in the dark with the help of John Harper. We will be back next week with more magical girls.
Meanwhile, you can find us on Twitter at goodenoughrpg, all one word, or email us at goodenoughrpg@gmail.com. And hey, be kind to yourself.
Ooh, technical difficulties. Ooh.
We'll be right back after these messages.
We are so cursed.